Welcome to the You Win Tool Parade podcast, the teacher-to-teacher open overview of what EdTech can do for you. From the University of Windsor Faculty of Education, I'm Soraya and this is Rebecca and Reem, and today we're talking Khan Academy.
I think we all know the overwhelming feeling of being bombarded with information about different tech tools and trying to filter through policies in terms of service to find the tool that's right for you in your classroom.
Which is exactly why we've done all the heavy lifting for you and are ready to present to you the complete rundown of the pros and the cons of classroom use, cost and data implication, differentiation, and everything in between.
Without further ado, here's everything you need to know about Khan Academy in 20 minutes or less. First things first, let's talk about what Khan Academy is and how it can be used in the classroom.
Khan Academy is a web-based educational tool which uses short videos and activities to help students better understand a given concept. Khan Academy covers a variety of subject areas, but the main focus of the tool is definitely math, which you can see just by looking at how many math options are available on the homepage. They offer early years math, but because the Ontario kindergarten curriculum is play-based in nature, I definitely think Khan Academy lends itself more to the grades 3-8 crowd in an elementary school setting.
It is important for us to note that there is a Khan Academy Kids app which incorporates interactive games centered around areas such as language arts, math, literacy, social-emotional development, and creative expression. This would definitely be a good option for iPad time in a kindergarten classroom.
Thank you so much for mentioning that. The Kids app is definitely better suited than the website to the kindergarten curriculum in Ontario. The Khan Academy website is a good option for lesson enhancement for grades 3-8. Both the app and the website definitely lend themselves more to supplementary use than a replacement for a lesson taught by the classroom teacher.
Can you elaborate a bit more on what you mean by supplementary use?
Absolutely. Khan Academy does not offer a complete online curriculum, but it does offer video lessons that could be used to expand upon the in-class lesson, such as a hook or a whole group activity, as well as assessment tools like quizzes, tests, and exercises.
Can you just quickly explain how to use the assessment tools?
Khan Academy breaks its content down by grade level, and all you have to do is select the course you want and sign your class up, which can be done by providing students with a class link, manually creating student accounts, or importing your Google Classroom. Then all you have to do is select your class and click Assign on the sidebar menu. It'll open a list of tasks for you to choose from. Once you assign a task and set a due date and time, whether it be a test or a lesson or whatever, Khan Academy generates a score chart based on student results, which is available in the sidebar menu as well.
And how are these assessment tools useful?
Well, you could use them preemptively as a diagnostic tool before an in-class lesson or assignment, as a formative assessment to benchmark student progress and see where some learning gaps might be forming, or just a change of pace for homework assignments.
Using Khan Academy as a homework tool might not always be the best option, though, since not all students necessarily have the internet at home.
Yeah, you're absolutely right, and unfortunately, Khan Academy does not have an option to manually input scores into the score chart if you were to provide a physical copy of the assignment to a student who can't complete it online.
So, how do the quizzes and tests look from a student perspective? Would students have to wait for their teacher to provide them with the feedback?
Khan Academy actually offers instant feedback for students, so they are able to see whether they got the answer right or wrong as soon as they submit their answers. Students can answer as many times as they need in order to get the question right, and are offered hints and tutorial videos when they answer incorrectly.
So that's a rundown of its use as an assessment tool, but what about as a teaching tool? How would the video lessons work?
So the video lessons can be used to take an individualized or whole group approach to education. Students who are struggling with certain concepts in class can be assigned specific lessons. The teacher can do this by assigning videos and related lessons to an individual student or to a group of students.
And how effective that will be definitely depends on the student. Some students might not be invested or engaged with that kind of self-directed learning. But I do like that you mentioned the variety of language options, though. That could really help English language learners and their parents connect with the concepts being taught in class.
Not only that, but the videos do have a very specific teaching style to them. They can be kind of fast-paced at times and don't always allow for a lot of time for students to think about why they're doing what they're doing before the instructor moves on.
That's very true. I think that's the nature of having the lessons presented in video format. Some students might be able to pause and rewind the video when they need time to think or to review some steps, but other students might just get overwhelmed and feel like they are being bombarded with information way too quickly.
Yeah, and I think that's especially true for the type of students who gain understanding of concepts by asking questions or engaging in conversation. Some students are able to get a good grasp on concepts just by having it explained to them, but others might need more of an interactive approach in order to really understand why they're doing what they're doing.
That's a great point. Students who might already have some anxiety or frustration about not understanding math concepts might find Khan Academy increases those feelings. And like you said, Reem, the self-directed nature of the lessons doesn't allow for teachers to use motivational strategies, especially if students are watching the videos at home or otherwise without teacher supervision. It's impossible to tell if the student was actually engaged with the content. They could have been listening intently and working alongside with instruction, or they could have had it on as background noise while doing something else unrelated to the lesson, just to get it marked as completed.
So wait, just because an assigned video is marked as viewed by a student doesn't mean they actually watched it?
Exactly. They could mute it, press play, leave the room, whatever. There's no way for the teacher to know if they actually watched the video and engaged with it aside from poor scores on assessment. But even then, that could be the result of just not understanding the video teaching style or not having the opportunity to ask clarifying questions, as we just mentioned.
In the case of poor assessment scores, that could also come down to general difficulty with writing tests. Some students are just not good test takers.
That's a great point. I think that fact really lends itself to what you mentioned about using it as a supplementary tool as opposed to a replacement for an in-class instruction or assessment. I definitely would recommend using the lessons and assignments as a diagnostic or benchmarking tool as opposed to a formal assessment of student understanding for that exact reason.
So with all that being said, Cole's notes version, how effective do you think Khan Academy is as a differentiation tool?
Well, I think it would be effective for some students, but not for others.
The same could be said for most differentiation strategies, to be fair.
Absolutely. Khan Academy could definitely be really helpful for students with strong self-regulation skills who are capable of effective self-directed learning. It also would be really effective for students with a preference for auditory or visual learning, especially if they prefer having things explained to them as opposed to a more conversational instruction style.
I also think there's an opportunity for parents who are homeschooling their children to use Khan Academy, not only as a teaching tool for their kids, but as a teaching tool for themselves to brush up on their elementary school math before trying to pass those skills along to their kids.
Yeah, and that's a really great point, Rebecca, especially since homeschooling parents might not have access to all of the learning and teaching resources a classroom teacher would. They also offer their content, including videos, in a large variety of languages, including, but not limited to, French, Arabic, Chinese, Spanish, and Korean. This could make a huge difference in terms of making class material accessible for English language learners and their families. Soraya, can you describe any groups that Khan Academy might not be the best tool for?
Yeah, so students who need a more hands-on learning experience in order to grasp concepts might find Khan Academy is not the tool for them, as only certain tasks provide instructions for hands-on learning activities. Khan Academy really doesn't offer many opportunities for multimodal work, which might further confuse students who need to take that approach to learning. It also might not be an effective tool for students lacking strong self-regulation skills or who are not strong test takers. And of course, the tool is rendered essentially useless for out-of-classroom use for students who don't have reliable access to the internet at home.
Well, I think that just about covers Khan Academy's functionality as a classroom tool. Let's turn our attention to all of the terms and conditions we read so our listeners wouldn't have to.
Let's start with the most obvious question. Reem, how much does Khan Academy cost?
Well, Khan Academy is a 501c3 nonprofit organization, which means it relies on donations. The service is 100% free for anyone to use, and there is an option to donate at the bottom of the site.
Do they rely solely on user donations?
So, no. Khan Academy is very open about receiving large donations from corporations such as Disney, Google, the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation, Bank of America, Comcast, and more. All of their large donors are clearly outlined on the Our Supporters page, including the size of both their lifetime donations and annual donations. The most recent annual donations available are from 2018. They also provide the names of their founding partners in annual corporate partnerships. In 2018, their corporate partners included the Law School Admission Council, AT&T, the College Board, General Motors, and Oracle, among others.
That's definitely a mixed bag. With so many large sponsors, are there any data use concerns our listeners should be concerned about?
So user posts are owned by the user, but Khan Academy reserves the right to use the information for essentially any purpose they wish, including creating derivative works. There is an exception for any content relating to academic records, since they are protected by the Family Educational Rights and Privacy Act. Sponsors are also not privy to any of Khan Academy's user data.
What about the use of personal student information that isn't related to academic records?
So children under the age of 13 have restrictions on their accounts that prevent them from posting any personal information. Beyond that, Khan Academy does share information with their employees and third-party service providers, trusted vendors, or any other group or individual providing services for them, including analytics, hosting, marketing, etc.
So what about the privacy of that data after it's shared with third parties?
So any third party with access to data derived from Khan Academy are contractually obligated to maintain the security and confidentiality of that information. In other words, these third parties are not able to take information from Khan Academy and sell it to another corporation or use it in any way that does not uphold its original confidentiality.
So I'm not going to go on to Khan Academy and start seeing advertisements for it popping up everywhere?
Not necessarily. While third parties can't sell your data for the purpose of advertising, Khan Academy itself does use interest-based advertising as well as third-party to show the user-targeted advertising on other websites.
Okay, so the third parties can actually be advertising companies themselves?
Exactly. So you might find ads related to your Khan Academy use popping up on Facebook or YouTube, but that does not, and I repeat, it does not mean that any third party has sold your data to Facebook or Google. These advertisements are the result of a direct collaboration between Khan Academy and a third-party advertiser, who, as previously mentioned, are obligated to keep your information secure and confidential.
So if advertisements appear on Facebook, that doesn't mean that Facebook has direct access to your personal Khan Academy data.
Exactly. The third-party networks also use tracking technologies to recognize your device and collect information on your visit to Khan Academy. This is done for the purpose of providing content, advertising, and messaging that is tailored to the user's interests and tracks those analytics for market research.
Does that work in reverse? Do these third-party advertisers also use data from other networks to place tailored ads in Khan Academy?
No, absolutely not. Students, parents, and teachers alike should not see any advertisements in Khan Academy's learning space. This includes no ads at the beginning of video lessons, which anyone who has ever tried to play a YouTube video for their class knows is a huge relief.
It looks like we're running low on time, so I think that we should move on to our final rating. Overall, Khan Academy gets 2 apples out of 3, one for classroom use, half for differentiation, and half an apple for being so clear about their donors and data implications. Does anyone have any final thoughts to sum up everything we've talked about today?
Khan Academy can definitely be used as a tool to supplement student learning inside and outside of the classroom. It is a very user-friendly platform and really lends itself to the self-directed, assessment-based learning for students with strong self-regulation skills who might need a little bit of extra help grasping the concepts being discussed in class. The assessment tools work great as a diagnostic tool, a method of benchmarking student progress, or as homework if the students in your class have a reliable internet access at home.
Conversely, Khan Academy might cause unnecessary frustration about not understanding the same concepts in students who need a slower-paced, conversational teaching style. Students who learn best through multimodal activities also might have difficulty making effective use of Khan Academy, as lesson structures are geared more toward those with a preference for auditory or visual learning. Assessment tools featured in Khan Academy should not be a replacement for formal assessment. Rather, Khan Academy can be used as an enhancement tool for in-class lessons, assignments, or tests.
In terms of their data use and costs, the fact that Khan Academy is a nonprofit, free-to-use platform makes using the platform accessible to anyone with internet access, regardless of their ability to pay for online resources. For a free tool, Khan Academy has a lot to offer, and the lack of microtransactions and advertisements in the learning space makes the program easy and safe to use for students, independent of parental supervision. Khan Academy clearly breaks down its corporate partners and is clear about not sharing user data with them. User data is shared with trusted third parties at the discretion of Khan Academy for the purpose of analytics and advertising.
And with that, we'll wrap it up. Thank you all for tuning in. We hope you found the information you were looking for. I'm Soraya.
I'm Rebecca.
And I'm Reem.
And this has been our tool review on everything you need to know about Khan Academy in 20 minutes or less.